11 in the white book. The white book, number 111. to come, Holy Spirit. Come, dear Lord, as you desire to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come, O Lord, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, we need. Jesus, yes, Lord. Thank you, 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 Jesus.
Quiet times like this, and where we may not see anything or feel anything, God is at work as we keep our eyes on Him and as we have faith. I remember there was a time in my life where I was very in unrest. I don't know what it was. They probably have a clinical name for it now, but I had just come out of an active lifestyle that was full of noise. I had a restaurant in Manhattan and then a discotheque in Queens. Of course, I was not with the Lord at that time. But I was used to very loud noise. It got into my bones. And when we come to the Lord, sometimes He immediately takes away the baggage. Sometimes there's some residue, and He has to work on that. But with me, it was that constant beat. I remember even going to the dentist, and I'd hear the music piped in, and how it would bother me. My soul would be stirred because I didn't want any more of that. But I remember coming up to camp. At that time, I was able to come up to camp quite frequently. It was the winter program. And I remember the times in the prayer room, total silence. And as I say, we were taught to look to God and to say, Lord, I don't feel anything, but I believe You're working in me. And that's how I came to the Lord. And little by little, gradually, I don't even know when it happened. It didn't happen all at once, but it was gradual. The Lord just sort of lifted that, whatever that was, I don't care what the clinical name was, but the Lord lifted it, and it was a dark cloud. I'm so thankful for that, and that's why we appreciate this precious time of silence that the Lord brings us into. And I've seen it fall. I've seen it's the Spirit of God, of course, and I've seen the Spirit fall on little kids, cottages. You get a group of 12 or 13 or 14 young kids, 6 or 7 years old, and you try to get them quiet. Suddenly I've been to meetings where the Spirit of God falls, total quietness comes over that meeting. And so I'm thankful for that hold of the Spirit. I'm thankful for that teaching that we have here in this fellowship. And I pray that I will cherish it more and trust God more to do work, deeper work, even in me and in all of us.
Amen. Amen. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. David in the Psalms would call them the ways of the Lord. He prays. David prays in the Psalms. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in the truth and teach me. You're the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day long. And other places also in the Bible you read about these ways of the Lord. You read that His ways are higher than our ways. They're not your way at all. They're not your way of figuring or doing. They're higher than your ways. Another place you read that His ways are past our finding out. But He reveals to us by the Holy Spirit as we ask Him and as we desire Him and as we delight in Him. And these ways that God has shown us in His Word, these are not extra biblical experiences. The verse we just sang, be still and know that I am God, is the Bible.
in quietness and in confidence, in quietness. You know, I wonder sometimes, what is it harder? Which of the ways of God are the hardest for us to learn? It seems that for a lot, it's difficult to learn the way of praise, the way of rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, I am rejoicing down somewhere in there. Well, then the fruit of your lips, what's that all about? Giving thanks to his name. Well, I don't do my lips. I do my heart and I stop there. Well, yeah, I don't know. These are the ways of God. They're not your ways. They're not natural to me or to you. Show me your ways. Now, why would God want to show me that way? Why in the world would he want me to praise him? Is he deaf? Does he not know that I love him and care about him and that I love and want to work? He knows all that. Then why does he do it? You tell me. I only know the Bible says do it. Do it. This is the way. Psalm 50, the last verse. Whoso offereth praise, the sacrifice of praise, glorifies me. And that's the way that I show him my salvation. How do you show me your salvation? Well, that says I ask Jesus to come. That's a different salvation. There are wells of salvation. And there are different aspects of salvation. And one of the aspects of salvation is that he wants us to praise him. And as we do, he delivers us. Show me your way. Show me that way, Lord. Lead me in that way. David, or Asaph, it's the Psalm 40, where Asaph says, he takes me out of the miry clay and he puts me on a rock and then he puts a new song in my mouth. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know how it gets there, but he puts it into my mouth. It's a song of praise unto my God, and many shall see and hear and trust in the Lord. And I need to learn those ways. And God teaches us. We come to meetings and we get to practice. Not only when we say, let's sing 322 or 409 and sing a song of worship or praise, but then we shut the book and we still get to sing a song of worship or praise. And I happen to think those songs are maybe even sweeter music to God than the ones that we sing from the book, because the one we sing from the book, somebody else wrote. The one you sing from your heart, you composed. And which one do you think he likes? Does he really like A.B. Simpson's song better than mine? Well, I guess he likes them both, but I think he'd like to hear yours once in a while. But yours isn't so melodic, and it's not so special, and it's not so wonderful. It's just a song of the soul set free. And whoso offereth praise glorifies him. And so I got to learn that way. And that's a lesson I need to learn that sometimes is hard to learn. We don't want to learn that lesson. It's not us. It's not me. I've said it before, and I still would say I'm not a very outgoing person. I'm a quiet, kind of introverted, shy, maybe. I don't know. Some of you have known me all my life, and maybe that's the way I was. But I don't want to stay still and quiet and introverted. I want to give God the praise and the glory that's due his name. And there's a time for that. That's one of his ways. But on the other side of the same coin, I guess, is another way. It's the way of being still. They're both God's ways. And I've seen God do miracles, literally miracles. I can talk to you a long time about miracles that God has done through praise, and I can tell you about miracles that God has done in silence. Brother Paul just talked about one. And there are others that I know who have been delivered and freed as they just sat still and looked to God and acknowledged he is God and meditated on that thought and that fact and just got quiet. And it's hard. I personally, to me, it's harder than coming into a meeting and praising the Lord. That's relatively easy in comparison to getting still. It's a harder discipline to learn. Half of the people, when you get still, they get fidgety. They don't know what to do. They start fiddling around with their phones or the songbook or going through grocery lists in your mind. There are millions of things that people do when you get still, and we never get still. We're thinking about and computing and wondering and trying and figuring and get still. It's hard. It's a discipline. Brother Paul talked about these times of silence and protracted times of silence. I was in a meeting one time where there were, I don't know how many ministers on the platform, Brother Gardner and Brother Hunts and Brother Edwin and Brother Arthur and Brother Gordon and probably Brother Bowers and probably Brother Posta. And they were all sitting up there, lined up on the platform, a half dozen ministers. And the meeting started, it was a morning meeting on Wednesday morning in Ridgewood. It started at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I was sitting next to my mother. And I was just a kid. And I got into that meeting, and the meeting started at 10 o'clock. And you know what we did at 10 o'clock? Nothing. We just sat there at 10 o'clock. And at 10:30, we were still just sitting there like that. And at 11 o'clock, we were still, and I was just a kid, and I didn't understand anything about what. I knew we did this sometimes, but I thought they were all sleeping or dead, hoping for the further former, not the latter. I knew what was going on. My mother included. She was dead right next to me. And these people, and you looked at some of their faces. I could still see Tony Kreutzer. God bless that man. He looked as if he had the face of an angel, just sitting there with a sweet smile and expression, as if he was just lost in God, and as if he was just in fellowship with God, and the glory of God was just radiating. And I can never forget the look on his face, not just that time, but many times, and others too. Oh, some of them, the look on the face was, that was a different look. Some of them was... But, you know, the discipline of being still. At 12 o'clock, the meeting was supposed to end. Guess what we were doing at 12 o'clock? The same thing we did at 10 o'clock. And then Uncle Hans said something. He said, it's time to dismiss the meeting. We're going to change the order of the service. But if you'd like to stay and wait on the Lord, you may. So stay. We've been doing this for 2 hours. Mom, let's go. I don't know what happened. I don't know if we went or stayed or what anybody did. But could you imagine coming to camp for a meeting in 2 hours just sitting here? Well, that could be really boring. It could be really dull. It could be really laborious. Unless you're having fellowship and still, and you know that he's God. And there are walls that are going down on the inside. There are things that are opening up on the inside. There are things that are being subdued. What does it say? In his presence, the mountains, they flow down like wax in his presence. In those ways that we can't do, they're operations of the Holy Spirit. And God uses praise sometimes, and God uses silence sometimes, and God uses his words sometimes, and God uses songs and testimonies and admonitions. These are all ways of God. And he doesn't just work in one way. And I need to, with David, say, Lord, show me your ways. Teach them to me. I don't think I've learned all his ways, and I certainly haven't learned them perhaps well. What does it mean when the high-sounding praise of God is put into our mouth? What's the high-sounding praise of God as opposed to the low-sounding praise of God? What is that all about? Is there something that sort of just lifts us, and is there a gear that's shifted sometimes in our praise? Well, there is. And you've sensed it, and so have I. All of a sudden, it seems like the praises have been lifted into another sphere. And as if they were just in the throne room of God, and God is just pouring out his spirit as people are opening up and praising him. Sometimes it's habitual, and it's almost like rote, but sometimes God just lifts it, and I think Zephaniah's prophecy is being fulfilled. He'll joy over his people with singing. And I don't think it's the congregation sometimes singing. I think it's God singing, enjoying over his people and inhabiting the praises of his people and manifesting himself and glorifying his name. And the same is true when we sit just in quiet and in silence before him. And so next time we come into a meeting, it's good to say, Lord, have your way. Lord, what are you going to do? What do you want? You want us to praise? You want us to be quiet? You want us to have a testimony meeting where 9 people are going to get up and share for 3 minutes each, and that'll take care of half the meeting and whatever? And what do you want to do? Do you want us to sing 9 songs or 2? You want us to worship with our... What do you want to do, Lord? What do you want? And I don't come to meetings with an agenda. I don't know what we're going to do when we get to meetings. Half the time, I'm not too sure even what I'm going to say. Lord, what do you want? What do you want tonight? What do you want from me tonight? What do you want to do? When I sit down, do you want us to be quiet and still for the rest of the time that we're together? Or do you want there to be preaching tonight? Or do you want there to be testimonies tonight? Or do you want us to worship and praise you? I don't know, Lord, but Lord, I want what you want. Because every gathering, every time we come together in a church service, is an opportunity for God to work in us, to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God working out the salvation that he's already dropped into our hearts, and he wants to work it out and deepen it and further it, and he has ways of his spirit that are beyond your ways. And I want to learn to yield better as an instrument. I play an instrument. Some of you play instruments. And that instrument yields to me. I'm the one that plays it. I'm the master of my instrument. And I can choose not to play it, or I can choose to play it loud, or I can choose to play it soft. I can choose to play the right notes or the wrong notes. Sometimes I don't choose to play them, but they come out anyway. But we choose what we want to do with that instrument, and then we go ahead and do it. Lord, make me an instrument. Choose what you want to do with it. And then, Lord, go ahead. Sing through me, play through me, speak through me, pray through me. But Lord, have your way in me. I as I said this morning or last night, I just like to sing some songs sometimes in a meeting, but I realize if I started to do that, I'd sing a solo or a duet, and I don't want to do that. But there is a song that maybe we'd like to sing together. It's in the hymn book. It's number 401. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. And let's sing, and then let's have an opportunity to see what the Lord would want to do. And if he wants you to testify, then do that. If he wants you to praise, then worship and open your heart. But Lord, have your way with us. 401. Oh, you'd like to stand, maybe change your position. We could do that. Seats on that last. There is a place of holiness near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, my.
come, Lord. We come to you, O God. Hallelujah.